What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I got a chance to sit down again with John Anderson. Before I get into the details of the episode, I just want to remind you guys that the Patreon page is up and running, and it is a great way to support the show. There is extra content on there. There's all sorts of good stuff. There's loyalty rewards for people who stick around, and there's several different levels for you to choose from as far as pay scale. If you don't want to do that, if you could like, share, rate, subscribe, tell your friends, all that stuff, that really helps the podcast grow. And if you don't want to do that and you just want to sit around and listen, that's cool too, and I appreciate you. As far as this episode is concerned, I got a chance to sit down with John Anderson, and he is a great fucking guy. We've become good friends, and this dude's a savage, and he's been in the fucking industry forever. He's done all sorts of wild shit. This episode, we get into all sorts of stuff like motivation and staying in the sport for a long time and some wild stories from when he was doing professional wrestling over in Japan. So I don't want to give anything else away. This is episode 139 of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. Enjoy it. TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I am joined once again by my, I guess I can say, friend now, John motherfucking Anderson. If you haven't listened to our first episode together, go back and check that out, and then come back to this one. And we'll get into it. I'm stoked to have John on the line again. This dude has done fucking everything. He's a savage. He looks like a savage. He doesn't just talk about being a fucking hard worker or a badass. He handles it on a daily basis. So I'm really excited to have him on the show again. John, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm great, brother. I'm great. I'm excited to come back the second time because, you know, since the first one, you know, I've really kind of clicked and had some fun together, you know, just get to know each other better. So I'm excited to be back a second time. It's like a whole different experience the way we know each other now.
Yeah, excellent, man. Yeah, it's one of those things where I'll say it to my wife sometimes. We'll like get off the phone and I'll be like, I can't believe I have a personal relationship with this dude that I used to like watch on YouTube fucking 10 years ago. Like, it's not to kiss your ass too much, but it's fucking cool. And so it's really awesome to have somebody with your level of experience and knowledge and know-how kind of as a resource. So let's just like give people maybe who don't know who you are just like a brief like couple minute, you know, like who you are as far as like the strength world is concerned.
Yeah. So I was my first career, I was a pro strongman, and that was a great time of my life. I was one of those guys that, you know, as if I was younger, I was, you know, if I could give myself advice, I would have gone back and said, don't be afraid. Because I was training hard and I was strong as hell, but I didn't have the confidence to know what I was capable of. So when I came into the strongman world, I just kind of exploded. You know, I won my first contest and I became pro almost instantly. My third or fourth ever contest was international. I won my first international contest as a rookie. And, you know, then basically had a great career. I was fairly short, all things considered, but when I say short, like 7 years, but you know, that's a brutal sport, especially I was kind of on the smaller side, so you know, get a little beat up, had a back surgery, but not complaining, just kind of detailing my strongman career in terms of where it was, and from there, I basically, one of my dreams was always to feel like I made a living as an athlete. You know, I'm sure in the powerlifting world and in strongman world, a lot of people make, you know, they make money, but you're not like this athlete that's just banking out on the contract from what sports you're doing. And so I decided to kind of shift gears and go try to tackle that dream in the world of wrestling. And so So I went to, and we're talking paycheck wrestling, bullshit wrestling. This is not legitimate wrestling. So I went and did that. I went to Japan. I did that for, hell, about the next 7 years as well. And then at that point, I got released. You know, you're getting paid. You don't want to leave, but then they tell you you're not going to pay the same way, so you got to leave. And I went from there, basically came home and turned pro in bodybuilding. And so now I'm actually 50 years old. I'm still an IFBB pro, obviously on the tail end of what's going on. But that's it. I've been, you know, basically three different ventures. And the best part about it is what ties it all together is the iron. You know, training is what allowed me to transverse all three. So that and my knowledge of diet.
I love that, dude. And you know what? The funniest part about that whole thing that you just said was that you said your career in strongman was sort of short lived. I don't remember the exact word you said, but you said short lived.
Sure. Yeah.
And then you said it was 7 years, and it's like, and that's fucking unreal to me, bro. Because there's motherfuckers who say that they've been doing something for a long time, and they mean 3 years. And you understand, you have such a grasp of like what it takes to be at the top level of these fucking things that like you're saying it's a relatively short career. It's like 7 years. Most motherfuckers don't last 7 months, you know? And so I think that's really admirable and cool. And something that I kind of, you know, like I said, I don't have like set up questions for this, but one of the things that always strikes me about you specifically is like, like your age and what you look like, it don't fucking line up. Like it's wild. Like you look so like it's wild. So and how you train and you know how you keep your diet so tight and you're always looking dialed in and jacked. What have you done to sort of like maintain? I'm not calling you an old bull. Well, I guess I kind of am, but that's fine. You're a jacked old bull. Fuck it.
I mean, when it comes down to it, I kind of had to accept that myself. And as I grow into being older, one of the ways that I look at it is, yes, I'm older, but if I can still kick ass, that's just what it's really doing, is it's kind of showing people that age is just a number.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, I believe that you're a product of your lifestyle. And a lot of times people don't quite recognize how your lifestyle becomes, it's your lifestyle is kind of everything. You know, one of the things that I really, if you look at how I've lived my life to do what I do, my life is like fucking Groundhog Day. Remember that movie Groundhog Day?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So he's stuck in that fucking world where every day is the same. And at first, he's like totally fucked up because every day is the same. And then he realizes, holy shit, I can make this one fucking day the best day of my life every day. So really what I try to do is my lifestyle, I try to create Groundhog Day on purpose. And meaning that I have a day where I'm home and I have a day where I'm traveling. And I try to make those 2 days as perfect as I can. And I enjoy those 2 days, you know, my training, my diet, all the things that go into that. So what I'm getting at is these rhythms, these patterns, this lifestyle that I'm describing is kind of what, it's really what makes me me. You know, remember the hockey player, Wayne Gretzky?
Yes.
The best hockey player ever. I was never a huge hockey fan, but I was always a fan of him because he was so much better than everybody else. What is it about this guy? Well, he basically said, look, he goes, I have 2 days in my life. He goes, I have a practice day and I have a game day. And that's it. And I thought, man, that fucking spoke to me. I was like, that is it right there. If you can make these days so powerful that every day you're getting better and you can manage that pattern and enjoy your life and have a family and do all the things, that to me, that was it. So that's kind of that. You sum it up, man. It's fucking Groundhog Day, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day where he's fucking loving his life, not the Groundhog Day where he wants to shoot himself.
Yeah.
He spent a chunk of those days trying to kill himself, but he couldn't die. He kept waking up.
Yeah, so I think that it's funny you bring up Gretzky because I'm a fucking huge hockey guy, and something he said, another thing he said was that like you know, when he was a kid, he would go outside and he would shoot pucks and whatever, and like for hours and hours. And it wasn't because his dad made him or his coach made him. It was because he fucking enjoyed getting better. And it's like, I do think that like, there's a thing, right, where people will say modern, like fitness industry, people are about, instant gratification, and they say it in a negative way. And I understand what they're saying, but there's like another side of that where it's like, you know, you can get instant gratification by saying, yo, I am fucking happy to eat this meal that I might not be super stoked on, but it's gratifying because I know that this meal is going to get me closer to my goal. Or,
yes.
You know, and you kind of learn how to, like, I think it was Mike Tyson that said, like, do things that you don't like doing like you love them. And it's like, fuck yeah. And you can just get yourself to a point mentally where it's like, I fucking hate reverse hypers and I hate training my abs. I fucking hate it. But I just do. And those are a big part of what I do on my end, like in my world. So it's like, but every time I do the reverse hypers, I literally every rep, I just fucking in my head, I say the number that I want to squat every fucking time. And then it's like, if I bitch out on something, it's like, well, then I guess you don't get that squat, motherfucker.
Yeah,
you
know? That number's not realistic now, is it? You know, well, put in these reps.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, brother. I had the same thing in my strength career. Hyperextensions, you have to do them, and you have to do them fucking often. It's not like you're doing these motherfuckers once a week.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So my training partner, hardcore dude, actually lost his leg from an injury, man, that hardcore.
Holy shit.
But anyway. Yeah, we would do these hyperextension contests between us, meaning like, okay, we're gonna pick a number. Sometimes it'd be 50, sometimes it'd be 75, but if we're really fucking out of our fucking rockers, it'd be 100. And I do a set, he do a set. And you're resting when the other one went. And if you stopped, you lost.
Oh fuck.
So, it was kinda like what you're saying, you're taking something. I had to turn it into a competition where I didn't want to fucking lose.
Yep.
That's how I got through that shit, you know? But yeah, I totally agree, brother. One of the things, too, that I think people miss with all this shit is when you really want something, you're going to getting better a little bit in some way every day becomes addictive. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. And, yeah.
If, you know, I have a major addictive personality. I mean, I've been fucking hooked on painkillers too many times that I can remember, I think. But I really think my lucky stars, my wife was such a trooper to get through some of those times with me. But what I'm getting at is that addictive personality, I basically attach that to productivity. I attach that to things that are constructive in my life, and it becomes a really helpful thing. So ultimately, you know, going back to the original question, you know, how did all this kind of stuff tie together? Once, you know, this is what, how I'm 50, I'm done what I've done, I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's because it's the lifestyle. It's Groundhog Day, you know? And you create Groundhog Day you love. Maybe most people might have two or three versions of Groundhog Day. But if you can zero those days in and you can enjoy those days, you're going to fucking get good at something.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think, yeah, dude, I think that honestly, like, the addiction to progression is one of those things that some people, they don't have it at first. And I think some people say, like, oh, you can't teach that. But I think all you have to do is show somebody the door and be like, hey, look at this. Like, look at this, which, you know, I'm working with a lot of younger athletes right now. And you're kind of managing emotions of the younger kids, right? Sometimes it's like, fuck, like, you know, they don't understand how this shit works, but you show them and you're, they might be bummed out about, oh, I didn't get a PR on this or whatever. And then, but you say to them, you're like, hey man, what you pulled for three reps before that was your best single 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So you might not have gotten what you wanted today, but you have to look at, like, all the work you've fucking done. Now you're at a point where you can almost disrespect the weight that would have fucked you up 3 months ago. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you can fucking throw it around for 3 to 5 reps, and it would have crushed you for one. And you kind of have to show people that. And then you can see, like, their eyeballs kind of light up, and they're like, oh, yeah. And it's like, okay, so now what we do is we just get back to work, because the work is what produces this shit. And I think that, like, something I remember you know, when you were pushing, like, deep water and really pushing yourself to these limits with these rep PRs that you were having, and you were going crazy. I still think of that shit. I don't do lots of high rep stuff because I'm fucking fat powerlifter, but when I am pushing, I do think about that whole thing where it's like, burn the fucking boats, dude. Like, go so far out that you have no option. You have no option but to be successful. It's like, with you, it's like, it seems like, you know, after you were done with your strongman career, it's like, you're not going to go get a job at a fucking bank.
No. Are you kidding me? You just fucking, I bury me before I do that.
You'll rob a bank.
At one place you're not going to find me is fucking commuting to work.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
One of my favorite fucking claims to fame, in terms of when I say fame, I'm not talking about famous. I'm saying that one of my favorite claims is I've never had a fucking job before.
No way.
Yes. Well, when I was in high school, I had a job. But once I got into college, and I basically became a young entrepreneur when I was 19 years old, man. And so I started painting houses. I'd walk down the street, knocking on doors, say, "I'll paint your house for $1,500." You know, that was kind of it. But that whole thing of, going from where I was in my strength career into, normal life, I just can't see that being a part of me. But what you're seeing, the burn the boats, might be one of the best ways to get somebody to understand how you got to put yourself into a real set. There's nothing else, you know. Like, I remember very often walking out a certain weight on a squat, like in strongman, 700 seemed to be the reps. We were doing 700 for reps, and there's all these fucking goofy squat machines, and their levers all really weird. But I would basically train for that. I put 700 on a squat bar, and I'd walk this fucking thing out, and I didn't want anybody near me because I wasn't putting it away. That was it. How many can I get until I got to bail out of this motherfucker? And sometimes it would go, every once in a while, I'd lose position at the bottom. I'd get a little tip forward, and that fucker would go over the top of my head, which, God knows, we all know how that feels. You know? And other times you can get out where, you get out where it falls behind you. But the idea of, okay, I'm gonna walk out with this weight. Everybody get the fuck away. Don't help me, because I have no intention of putting it away. To get someone in that train of thought, once they see the other side, it's like a whole new world opens up to them.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as you kind of, like, don't know what you're capable of until you put yourself in that situation. And, like, I think that, like I've experienced that when I first moved out to Ohio and to train at Westside. It was like, I had fucking $600 and nowhere to live. And I moved out there and was just like, well, we're going to figure this shit out. Like, I guess we got to fucking do it.
And brother, that's where you can become your best, because you're forced to find a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally, the best thing you can ever do for yourself is not have a fucking plan B.
Yes, dude. I love that so much, dude. I love that so much.
If you got a plan B, guess what? Plan A ain't fucking working. You have to make fucking plan A work. And what it comes down to is, what are you willing to fucking, how much skin are you willing to give to make that fucker work? Because at some point it will. It might hurt and it might suck and you might go through a lot to get there. But if you have a plan B, plan A ain't gonna fucking happen. And if plan A did happen, it wasn't a fucking big enough goal, because, bottom line is, you want, like what you're saying, going to Ohio with $600 in your name, it's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
That's what made you you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, like, that whole thing where it's like survive or die, because, Like, if you have, let's say you have a goal, and your goal is to be an IFBB pro. That's what your goal is, right? And it's like you put everything into it, and it's like even if you don't achieve that fucking goal, even if you spend your whole fucking life trying to achieve and you don't achieve it, you still have a body of work that trumps any average motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And that, to me, I think learning how to learn how to love the journey is fucking huge.
Yes.
And like, like, because it's not linear, dude. It's not like you went to your first, you know, it's like you didn't go to and win every strongman competition until you retired. Get the fuck out of here. That's not how this works. Like,
hell no.
You have ups and downs, and you have injuries, and you have, you know, you might get depressed for 6 months and fuck your train. Who knows? But as long as it's like, as long as it's trending up, it's good. You're making fucking steps forward, you know?
Absolutely. It's that simple. Getting fucking kicked in the nuts is always going to fucking make you better than getting a pat on the back.
Yeah, absolutely, you
know?
Dude.
But what's funny, dude, when you're saying this, let me share kind of a funny story with you. So I was getting my pro, on the way to the contest to get my pro card. So keep in mind, I got my pro card, my second ever contest in bodybuilding, which is, at the time, I didn't realize that was such a big deal. But anyway, so I'm basically, I've done my prep, I'm ready to go, and I'm fucking flying to the East Coast, and my plane basically gets canceled. So they say, I'm trying to find another plane. Well, I got to get one early in the morning. There's not enough time to go to a hotel and come back. I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to sleep right at the fucking gate. I'm not missing this plane.
Yeah.
So I lay down, like, right there. And I finally fall asleep, and I got my training partner with me. He's just kind of looking over me. Anyway, I finally fall asleep because, obviously sleeping is key when you're trying to stay in good shape in that condition. I finally fall asleep, and I have this dream that I'm taking a piss and fucking wake up, and I'm fucking peed all over myself. And I'm talking about, I got pee, like, probably from my belly button down to almost my knees, and it's gone all the way around the back of my sweatpants. I'm fucking got piss all over me. And so I kind of, like, sit up. You know, and it's on this hard floor with the fucking, you know, in an airport, it's like this tight carpet, you know?
Yep.
Nothing comfortable. I sit up, and I'm kind of sitting there on one arm, and I'm just sitting there going, what the fuck else is going to go wrong? And my training partner walks up, and he's like, what's wrong? And I explain, he looks at me, and he's like, trying not to laugh, you know? Things are going so wrong. He looks at me and goes, what are you going to do if you don't win? And I just told him, I said, honestly, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah.
There was no fucking way that I was going to basically, I was going to do what I had to do. Thinking about not winning was not helping me fucking win, you know? And something you said just made me think of that story. But, I mean, what kind of just displays all we're talking about is, you know, you gotta commit all the way. There is no halfway. There is no plan B. And ultimately, that whole thing worked out for me. I did win. But had I not won, I would have fucking, you know, pulled my pants up and fucking, you know, got on the saddle and done it again. Because like you said, it's the journey. When you can learn to enjoy the journey, that's part of the equation, because you're not always winning and you're not always doing great. You don't always feel great, but the bottom line is you're enjoying the journey. And that was something I didn't learn early on in my career. When did you get a hold of that?
So I think I started saying that I understood that long before I actually understood it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I would say it because I was like, I thought I was supposed to be this like smart guy or whatever, you know what I mean? But I think I really learned, I've learned a lot about myself in the past like 6 months, my guy, because we moved. I lost fucking a bunch of weight. I got hurt. I tore my fucking pec. I hurt my back. Like, and then all of a sudden, you're so fucking grateful to get under the bar and train that all of a sudden the journey, like, fuck the meets, fuck the competitions, like the ability to bench press becomes like, you're so grateful for it that I'm like, fuck yeah. So like, I go into the gym every time now, and I feel like I have a new, I'm like just getting back to normal, just getting back to squatting like high thousands again. It's been almost a year.
But I just saw you do a video the other day of like 975, and it was in a series going up, and you look like you had a fucking firm grip on that shit.
Yeah.
You look like fucking great.
Yeah, yeah. So, I ended up going up to 1060 that day, and honestly.
Did you really?
Yeah. Shit. Honestly, I was sitting there getting my knees wrapped for the 1060, and my eyes were like welling up. I was getting like emotional because I was like, I haven't touched this weight in almost a year, and I'm just so grateful to be able to fucking train and to be able to like do what I want. And so, and I think that's really important, man, because a lot of guys, they leave their competitive career much earlier than obviously you'll end up doing. They're not as maybe not whatever, not as dedicated or whatever it may be, but they still love it. And then they're left with this like, well, now what the fuck do I do thing? But it's like the way that you've set yourself up where you enjoy training so much, it's like, yeah, you might not be taking fucking 400 pound squats for sets of 30 or whatever you crazy ass was doing before, but
I just did a set for 30 not too long ago, so I'm still there.
You fucking savage. So, but it's like, eventually, like, the numbers of the reps or whatever will go down, but you enjoy training so much that it's like, yeah, it might be a little kick to the ego, but you still get to do the thing you love. And I think that people really miss that because it's like, hey, bro, like, nobody's an exception to the rule. Time is a real fucking thing. So it's like, you better figure out yourself. You know what I mean?
What you're just saying, 100%, because here's the thing. Like, I just did a set of 4 or 5 for 30 a week or two back, whatever it was.
What the fuck?
And that, to me, I was in the same space in terms of my emotions and my spirit. Because I'm telling you, when I'm squatting, that's like spiritual. It's real. I learned more about myself under the squat bar than any other place on the planet. But anyway, what I was going through for that 30 was equal to or the same as when I was in my prime doing it for fucking 46.
Right. Right.
So, granted, just like you said, the time, the reps change, but I still get to have the same fucking experience.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. See, it's the numbers are great, but it's the experience that you're having, you know, riding those numbers. So, granted, I got to have the same experience. I got to go through all the same, you know, the same emotions and the same growth at 50, doing, you know, not as many, but I still got the same experience, and that's what it's about right there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's why you remain happy, my dude. That's why, you know, and I think that it's really important for people to hear that because there is this very sad thing that you see, and I'm sure you've seen it a million fucking times. But you see the guy who can't let go of the thought of being the best and they go for too long. And it's like, bro, if you could figure out how to enjoy just like lifting the weights, you wouldn't be as fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And it's there's that line there where it's like, yeah, like I want to go for as long as I fucking can. And I want to be competitive for as long as I fucking can. But eventually, you know, the sun sets enough times that all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm not gonna be squatting 1,100 pounds for the rest of my fucking life. You know, but you have to learn, like you said, that moment of when you're on your 29th rep now is the same feeling you got when you were on your 46th rep then, and being able to recognize that. So something I wanted to touch on too, we were talking about in the gym the other day is, like motivation, right? And what it really means. And to me, I feel like motivation is like kind of a fleeting feeling. Whereas as like dedication and just deciding to do something might be a little different. I know it's kind of a wordplay thing, but to me, it's like, you know, I don't have to be motivated to go to the gym. I just go to the gym. That's just something I do. It's like it's like taking a shower, bro. It's like I just do it.
It's like exactly. I you know, people say, you know, you're still working out. Well, you know, I'm still eating breakfast also.
Yes.
I'm still brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
You know, all these things that I do to care for myself, I don't stop doing those. Why would I stop doing this?
Yeah, 100%, dude. It's like, because it's hard for, me and my wife were talking about that the other day, where it's like, when someone quits working out, is very confusing to me, because I'm like, well, what happens then? Do you just like watch yourself slowly decay? Like, it's very strange to me to be like, nah, I'm just done going to the gym. It's like, for what fucking reason? Like, well, like...
no, brother, it's like, it's totally. And you know what that is to me? What I see is that, you know, people have their job and they can't wait to retire, right? Well, they're retiring for something they didn't really want to be doing.
Yeah.
To where it's like, someone that's training because they want to do it, you're never going to retire from training.
No.
You might do it a little differently, but you're not going to retire. And that's the thing with, like, with, you know, going back to when I said I've never had a job except for when I was a kid. Well, I'll never retire because what I do to make money, I enjoy. And I've kept it that way most of my life, thank God. And so the idea of doing what you enjoy is what most people miss. They're going to the gym because they're supposed to. They're, I got a job because it gives them the money they need to do X, Y, Z. If people would get right down to the brass tacks, if I do X, Y, Z because I enjoy it, it's a whole different platform of execution.
Dude, yes. There's like a Gary Vaynerchuk says that if you take whatever you do when you're procrastinating, if you take whatever that thing is and turn it into something you can make money, you'll never work. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you can figure out how this, like, kind of hack this where it's like, yeah, man, I work my ass off as far as like the hours that I spend in the gym, the hours that I spend online coaching people, all that. And I'm sure you're the same way. It's like all writing all the diets, talking to all the people, doing all the stuff. But at the end of the day, any time that I feel like frustrated or flustered, where I'm like, I'm folding fucking 100 t-shirts, sending them out, and just like, what the fuck? Like, I'm buried in t-shirts. But I look around and I'm like, man, I feel very grateful for this type of stress because I kind of created it. Sort of switching gears to talk about a profession that you had that not many people get to experience with the pro wrestling. I was wondering if you could share like something wild that happened over there, like a story or something crazy that happened over there. I'm sure you had a lot of weird fucking experiences because I'm pretty sure you, like, aren't you like a god over there if you're like a white guy over there wrestling?
Yeah, funny enough, the Japanese people are so fucking smart, but they fucking buy into this shit like it's a real fight, which totally fucking blows my mind.
Oh, shit. They thought, so the culture over there, they think the pro wrestling is real?
I mean, I hate to say yes, but Jesus Christ, by the way they treat it, you would think so. You know, it's fucking... But so this tells you the tale right here. So... this is an average, you're on tour, you have your match, and then in the locker room, basically the road handler will come and give you an envelope, which is telling you where you're going to go, because the sponsors basically will actually pay you to come have dinner with them. That makes sense? So you're getting an envelope of a whole pretty fucking thick stack of fucking bread in the envelope, but it's telling you who you're going to meet outside.
Okay.
Basically, you take this fucking, you go to this amazing restaurants. I mean, it's not uncommon to see a $6,000 or $7,000 dinner tab.
Holy shit.
Fucking six or eight people. But I mean, crazy, you know, but here's the part that really is weird. So these are highly successful businessmen, right? Somewhere through this dinner, one or sometimes many of these dudes are going to basically take off their suit, take off their shirts, and they want you to fucking, it's called a chop in the wrestling world, where you basically rip somebody in the chest.
Yep.
You're doing it with an open hand. And these dudes will want you to chop them, and we're talking hard. Like, if you pull
no,
up,
dude. You do it. No.
No. And I'm talking about, like, there might be three or four wrestlers in the group, sometimes five. They want to chop from every one of us.
Get the fuck out. Like, on their chest?
No. On the chest. And, like, you're talking it was fucked up, you know? because what they believe is the warrior spirit of us goes into them with that fucking, with that chop.
Holy fucking shit. So, not to generalize, but I'm picturing like small people too. Like these aren't big guys.
Yeah. No, generally speaking, the Japanese, you know, they're not on the larger scale of human beings.
Holy shit.
Maybe let's just say if we had the average full grown Japanese male, maybe 5'5" to 5'7". You know, maybe a buck 40, 50 or something like that.
And here you are, little, fucking chopping them in the chest.
Dude, the first time I was asked to do it, I was like, because I was basically what they want to do is they have the if you're newer to the roster, then basically they have you go first, almost like a seniority thing. And I remember asking one of my we're called Gaijin because we're the white, asking one of my fellow Gaijin, one of the white guys, I was like, dude, I'm looking at him like, am I supposed to really hit him? And he's like, he smiles at me and says, yes. He'll ask you to do it again if it's not hard enough.
Holy shit, dude. That is fucking insane.
So, like this, slapping hard enough that it fucking hurts my hand. That is called a chop. I don't know if you ever watched
Wrestling.
So, when you're chopping somebody hard enough, it makes your fucking hand stick and it's on their chest, you know?
My God. Holy fuck.
That was a very regular thing, too. Pretty fucking crazy.
Holy shit. Was there, like, lots of, because obviously the production and the money that goes into it out there is probably fucking crazy. Like, were there, like, wild injuries and shit that you saw? I got to assume that you saw some fucking crazy shit.
My tag team partner fucking broke his neck in the ring in a match.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, he's out there, and it was actually, funny enough, he was actually giving the suplex. But really? When he came down and posted up on his head, I don't know what, it's just the nature of the way shit goes. Sometimes, you know, there's somebody hurts themselves deadlifting and you don't really see why. It's just they were out of position just enough.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't really see it. Fucking pow, a disc slips or something, you know. But it was one of those things where you look at it, you watch it back on film and you clearly knew what happened, but it wasn't like you could see it coming. And it was like, you know, he went down and you can so clearly see the difference when someone's really hurt.
Yeah.
Because it's just like fucking nothing's happened, you know? And it's just fucking mind blowing because, you know, I was in there doing the same move 90 seconds before him.
Fuck, you know? Dude. Have you had some pretty good injuries, I'm assuming, John? Because you've done the crazy shit and you've always stayed lean, you know, like, I see pictures of you. I never really see, like, an off-season looking motherfucker. I always see, so lean guys tend to get injured a little bit more. Yeah. Like, have you had some pretty big bumps?
So I've had three surgeries. So in my strongman, I did my, it's called a terrible triad. So it was an ACL, MCL, and a meniscus.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so I have an ACL replacement. Then I had back surgery. I had, because I ruptured three discs in my strength career when I was doing strongman, and I knew I was hurt. But I knew if I stopped to have surgery, the odds of me getting back to where I was quickly was very minimal. So I just figured, fuck it, I'm just going to go until I can't go anymore, and that'll be the end. And that's kind of what brought me out at the tail end, is that, you know, my S1 nerve became impinged to the point where because when I did my right knee, my right calf became smaller than my left because I was, you know, obviously dealing with that, with the surgery. Well, by the end of my strongman career, my left calf was the smallest because it just, the nerve wasn't there, so it wasn't firing properly. So that was kind of the end there. So back surgery, and then probably the gnarliest one, the hardest one was, I did a bicep, and I did it in a fucking match. I did it in the first 2 or 3 minutes of like a 12-minute televised match. So you can't stop. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it was like, I was a little injured going into it, so I knew it was a little tender, and I felt it go. It was the weirdest thing. It felt like an electric shock that went down my forearm into my hand. And I was like, oh, God, that's not good. But I had a sleeve on it. So basically what I did is I knew something went wrong. So I ran him into the pole, supposedly hit his head on the metal, which would then allow me to throw him outside, and he should lay there hurt for a little while. That's the psychology behind it. That makes sense?
Yep.
So I grabbed him. I said, I'm hurt. Pole. I ran him in the pole, threw him out, and he was waiting for me to come get him. I pulled my sleeve down, and the fucking bicep was up in my shoulder. I'm like, God damn it.
Fuck.
I said to the ref, how much more? You know, of course, you know, it's like, we're all talking out there, but you can't see it. He says, almost 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So basically, you just got to kind of suck it up and keep moving. So that was probably the worst, because that was an injury where I had to keep going in the middle of it.
Yeah, did you get that repaired, or did you say, fuck it?
Yeah, no, I was kind of in denial. You know, at very first, it's a partial tear, you know? Thing was up in my fucking shoulder. But I stayed on tour, and it kept bleeding. So my forearm, like 2 days later, my forearm was this, it was way swollen, and it was like fucking purple. It looked like a big fucking billy club. And they were like, you're going home and get this fixed. So,
yeah.
So I went and got it fixed, and then, you know, came back, and I was actually in the ring. I was in the ring, basically. I was still supposed to have a brace on, but I was back in the ring because, you know, it's just that, it's that place where you're getting paid, and if you, you know, if they don't see that you're doing everything, you know, to hold your position, they'll replace you.
Right. So, yeah. Was that a tough, you know, training after that, or like your bodybuilding career? Because that was before your bodybuilding career really took off. Like, did that affect your symmetry or your training or anything like that?
If you look closely, you can see it. But my surgeon was pretty good. He did a great fucking job.
Yeah, that's a scary one too. That's one of those ones where 50% of the people will say, don't even bother getting it fixed, and then the other 50% will say, definitely get it fixed. So it's one of those ones. Were you like when the shit happened? Did it fucking hurt, or was it like one of those ones?
It was just like my fucking knee. It was like there was this intense. I didn't even say it was a second. It felt like getting hit with electric shock, but it was so intense. It was like, whoa! What was it? It was like almost like a. You had to like yelp. You know, because it was like it's so intense, so fast, and then it was gone.
Fuck,
because once that tendon is torn and gone, it doesn't hurt anymore.
yeah, because there's nothing to hurt. It's fucking gone.
So that's actually what saved my ass was the bicep. The tendon completely tore off the bone. So what he did is surgeon said he had to go up there and like massage my fucking bicep that was all tied up down, and he said that the basically he could literally just take and put that tendon right back on. So what he did is he drilled a hole. I can't remember what's the bigger bone in your forearm. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Fuck.
He drilled a hole through that, stuck the fucking tendon through, and then put a button on the backside.
Okay.
Because the tendon has to fuse to the bone, but it was never going to do that without some sort of a, you know, they put what they call them, some sort of screw and this, that, and the other, but he was afraid it was going to pull through because I had to go back on tour, so.
Sure.
Anyway, yeah, but that was, this is the kind of stuff, you know, when it's happening, you're just reacting. You know, it's like, okay, this is what happened. This is what I have to do. Their plan B doesn't exist. So I told him, I said, look, I got to be back in Japan in 6 weeks. He goes, you're supposed to still be in a sling in 6 weeks. I said, well, you better fucking fix it really well then.
Yeah, tough shit. Tough shit. Yeah, it's so funny too, man.
That's why he put the button on the back, because he was afraid if there wasn't a button, it would have pulled through.
Okay, yeah. Dude, it's funny because of all the shit, right? Like, it's like, drop sets on drop sets and lifting stones and tires and all this shit, and you pop a bicep in a wrestling match, of all things.
And it's a wrestling match that's a fucking work. We knew what we were doing, and we knew how we were going to do it, and I still fucking did.
Were your character out there, like, were you an asshole? Were you a heel? I can't imagine.
I've always been, for whatever reason, everybody's always kind of casted me as the good guy. You know, it's just more, it came more naturally to me, because what comes down to it, man, you know, I've never been hit in the face. I've never hit anybody in the face. I don't really know how to be mean.
Dude, I fucking love that. That's so sick, bro, because there's like a population of people who look at how you look and would just assume that you would fucking muscle people or bully people around because that's what they would do. But it's like, it's so fucking refreshing to hear like a dude of your stature be like, no, dude, I'm not a fighter. Like, that's fucking awesome.
No, no interest. So, you know, when someone gets, you know, not so much when I'm older, but I was younger, so it kind of, you can kind of tell it's getting tense. They're getting chesty with you. I'll just say, look, I'll give you a kiss before I fight you. What's it going to be? You
know? And that'll defuse it. Fucking A, dude. That's so good. I love that because I do recently, this past week, I'm not a fighting guy either, really. That's not really my shit. But this past week, I've had two people tell me that other people have said like something about me, like, oh, he must be a hard ass and whatever, something just based on how I look. And they're like, no, he's actually like kind of a teddy bear. Like, so it's not really.
Yes. That's it. You know, because we work hard and we're strong dudes doesn't mean that we're not nice.
Yes. And I think that that's fucking super important, especially dude, the best part is walking into a fucking diner or a nice restaurant and looking like you, now you're not covered in tattoos, but you're fucking huge. And, you know, like, you know, or me walking in there with my throat tattooed and everyone kind of looking at you sideways and then just being the sweetest person and super polite.
Oh, dude.
It's the best.
Especially like when you crack one of your big smiles, it just fucking makes the person you're smiling at feel warm. I know, because I know when you smile at that, so it makes me feel.
Yeah.
You know, because it's because you're this guy that's like this, you look like a fucking, like some sort of a warrior, but then that smile completely disarms you.
Yeah, dude.
In a good way, because it just shows that you're a happy, smiling guy. You're not sitting there fucking furrowing, trying to be a hard ass. It's not about that. And that's what's really fucking cool.
I love that.
I do too. I think it, and unfortunately, we get kind of, you know, what the stereotype, you know, really kind of gets in front of that, but it's nice when there are people like us that can basically do that stereotype wrong.
Yeah, fuck right. Yeah, dude, I love that. Hey, so we're kind of getting to the end here, and I always like to end with a question. I've kind of switched it up since the last time you're on. I asked different questions based on who I'm talking to, and so for you, like, you are, how old are you again?
50.
So you're 50, and you've lived a very full life, and you're very fucking content. Obviously, it seems you're happy. You've got a wife that obviously you love and all this stuff. What's a piece of advice that you would give to people who may be on the cusp of getting to, you know, they're in their late 30s, early 40s, and they're kind of nervous about getting older with their training and stuff? Like, what's a piece of advice you'd give them to keep moving forward and to maintain that discipline to train, even though they're not in their prime, let's say?
Yeah, that's a great question, and the answer I'm going to give you is kind of boring, but it's fucking highly effective. If any of you will give this a try, you will see it makes a huge difference, because as a coach, I get people come to me all the time, and they're like, you know, I used to be this, I used to be that, and I'm having a hard time doing it now. Like, they're almost having a hard time continuing on with what they were doing when they were younger. They were fine, and the answer is the diet. If you think about it like this, what you eat literally becomes you. If you're eating a fucking Cheeto, your body's can only, it's, what's it going to do with a Cheeto? You're going to turn into a Cheeto. But what I'm getting at is that for people that are feeling like, you know, they're trying to move forward and they're, you know, there's that point where, I don't know, maybe it's the success is not the same, but maybe there's so many emotions that come along with it getting harder. You don't get as you know, much of a bang for your buck, so to speak. When you start to take care of yourself with your diet, everything will change. As you get older, especially I'm 50 years old, if I wasn't eating the way I was eating, we wouldn't be having the same conversation.
Yeah.
So, number one, I know that's boring, so I'll give you a little more, but I would say if you just keep it simple, just stop eating processed foods. You stop eating processed foods, it will change everything. Your body was not designed to break down processed foods. It was designed to break down real whole natural food. So eat a little better. And then the next thing is, when it comes down to training, you know, when you're getting to that certain point, you just got to say, you know, fuck it. And basically give it another push. Because here's the thing. A lot of times, you know, I've even been here myself at different points where I'm thinking, God damn, I'm feeling like I'm getting a little stuck. Well, you just take a deep breath, give it a push, and you're going to be really, really happy with that momentum that you regain. But you just got to have the balls to give it that push when sometimes it doesn't feel like it's going to work. Now, if I'm going to put these two together, it's going to, if you start paying attention to what you eat before you give it a push, you're going to have a lot more success.
Fucking right, dude. Yeah.
Yes. But I would say when it comes down to it, if there's anything in terms of people in late 30s or 40s or even 50s, if you're having trouble in any regard, I can pretty much fucking guarantee you it's your diet.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think that that's, I think the more with everything that's gone on with like COVID and the state of the world and all this stuff, I think people are starting to really realize that that's not like a bullshit, like it's not a bullshit sales pitch. It's a real fucking thing. No. It matters. And I think that's especially, like you said, especially as people get a little older, like, and obviously if you're younger, start the good habits now. And then, you know, as you get older, it becomes even more important. So, hey man, I want to thank you so much for spending the time. Do you want to give out social media or anything like that so people can follow you?
Absolutely, yeah, Chad. And just for everybody listening, man, I love to connect with people. I love to give people advice. I love to inspire people more than anything else. So you can. I spend most of my time on Instagram. If you want to reach me, DM me. It's at the John Anderson. Keep in mind, my name is spelled most truly, so it's J-O-N, and Anderson is A-N-D-E-R-S. E-N instead of O-N. That's the Nordic spelling.
make sure you guys all go follow him because he does these sick videos where he's like got fucking veins popping out of his neck and he's smoking a cigar telling you to not be a pussy and it's fucking awesome. I fucking love it. So, hey man, thanks again for...
That's your mental Monday. I got mine, you got yours, brother.
Fuck yeah, dude. Thanks again, man, and hey everybody, make sure that you follow my personal page. It's AnthonyCW13. The trigger warning page is trigger_warning_conjugate for all of your mental Monday and merchandise needs. And then make sure you follow the gym page too, Anchor Athletics NH. Like I said, we've got a lot of cool stuff going on there with the college athletes that are back for the summer. So that's what we got for today, guys. Thanks again for listening to the TWC Stay Hated podcast. And as always, stay hated, motherfuckers.